2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would turn there, please. And I don't know that I'm actually going to get to the woman at the well, because the Lord has given me so much in addition to that, that we'll get there if time allows us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read one very familiar verse. The Apostle Paul is writing and he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your presence today. And we thank you for the engrafted word that's able to save the soul. Now, we would ask you, Lord, that you'd open every heart, that you'd open every ear, and that you'd help me to make a certain sound. Lord, that you've given me, help me to pronounce it, Lord, correctly, so that your people might hear it, and they might take it home, and it might germinate in their hearts. And Father, we ask you as well to bless the offering today, bless all those that support this ministry from week to week, those here in the worship room, those that are watching by the online experience. We ask you to bless these lives, pour out upon them according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Now I'm reading from the King James, and in the King James it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But that word creature is really creation. It means that you are a creation that did not exist prior to the born again experience. In other words, what it's saying is that being born again is not an adjustment to who you were. It's a complete removal of who you are, and a new creation is started in that place. But it goes on to say that, let me back up. If any man be in Christ, this any man being in Christ, what it really is saying is every single person that is truly born again, excluding none, if any man, doesn't matter who he is, what his background is, if he is in Christ, there are some truths that transpire. Number one is old things are passed away. Number two is all things become new. Now, the phrase, all things are passed away, in the English, it can sound like on the day that you got born again, all the old things passed away. But we know that's not true. We know that some things did pass away. But in the original language, this is really the present perfect tense. And what it means is that if any man be in Christ, the day you got in Christ, old things started passing away with a continual ongoing impact that you... Things continue to pass away as you walk with Jesus Christ. And that should line up with your experience. When I got saved, a lot of things went away, but I still had some issues. Somebody ought to give me an amen, because you got issues too. And over the course of 40 years, things have been passing away more and more and more. But now, many times when we read this, we read it in terms of our sinful activity, and that's correct. That's true. Sinful things pass away in our lives immediately upon being born again. Over the course of our walk, they continually are shedded from our life. But I'm convinced that this is not only talking about sin, because there are some things in all of our lives that are not necessarily sin, but they got to go. They have to go. Because they're in the way. They're stealing our time, they're stealing our attention, our mental energies, and they're just in the way. And because we are sometimes reluctant to let those things go because they're not sin, it hinders our walk and our progression in Christ. We fall in love with those things, and we make up our minds that I want to take this with me, but you can't. So I said, I think I can. I'm telling you can't. It's been 40 years I've walked with him. You can't. And whatever you try to carry forward, resisting the Holy Spirit as he tries to get you to let that thing go, over a period of time, it will not only hinder you, it will damage you. It will damage you. Now, I look at the apostles, and for all of the apostles, before they met Jesus Christ, they had lives. They had families, they had careers, they had professions, they had aspirations, they had hopes, they had everything that you and I would have in life. But when they met Jesus Christ, all of them walked away. Except for Judas Iscariot. He tried to take what he had and move forward with Jesus Christ. And ultimately, what we find happening in his life is, spiritually speaking, he walked away from Jesus Christ so that he can embrace the things that he had always loved, which was money. Now, that might not be your case today, but all of us in here, I'm convinced there's something that Jesus wants you. It's time to lay it down. It's time to give it up. You cannot continue to grow. You cannot continue to progress. The scripture tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin. Not just sin. There are some things that are weights in our life. They just weigh us down and they cause a drag on our progression in Christ. Now, when we look at the disciples, and I want to share this because I think many times people just read over it. But let's look at the book of Luke chapter 5. And this is when Jesus calls Levi, who is Matthew. Matthew is the disciple that wrote the book of Matthew. He was actually, his life was ended prematurely. He was martyred for the cause of Christ. But when he met Jesus Christ, Matthew's job, he was a publican. A publican is a tax collector, which means that he took money from the Jewish families it was their taxes, and he gave it to the Roman government. So he was hated by his fellow Jews who thought he was a traitor, and being a publican was just like being a Gentile. You were not part of the Jewish society. But Matthew didn't really care. Many times the publicans would hire somebody to go sit at the receipt of customs to get the money so they would not have to face the Jewish brothers themselves. But not Matthew. Matthew set up his booth. He looked his Jewish brothers right in the eye and said, "Pay up." He didn't care. But when Jesus walked by, Luke chapter 5, verse 27, it says, after these things, Jesus had just healed a man with the palsy. He went forth and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs. Now, I want to draw the picture for you. It's a little booth with a chair there, and people would line up to pay their taxes. And so Matthew would have had money on the table. He would have probably had little bags of money under the table where he had already collected the taxes. He probably had a guard or somebody watching him to make sure he didn't get ripped off. And so there was a considerable investment, plus his responsibility to get this money to the Romans that he had extracted from the Jewish people. And Jesus came by, it says, he was sitting at the receipt of customs, and Jesus said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all. He left all of it. He got up, he left the table, he left the money, he left the guard, he left the responsibility, he left everything behind him, and he went with Jesus Christ. Are you willing to walk away? Now, you may not have to walk away from everything in your life, but every one of us in here has something that it's time to lay that thing down. It's time to give it up. And many times we comfort ourselves by saying, "Well, God is a loving God, and he wouldn't expect this much from me." But I'm here to tell you, he does. I was saved not 1 month. I wasn't even saved 30 days. Prior to my salvation, I had been shacking with this young lady that we had been together 5 or 6 years. We had already made plans the following year to get married. And I got saved, and within 30 days, God said, "You will not marry her. You're going to marry your ex-wife." And I fought God. I fought with all my might. But he's strong. And it broke my heart. But I made up my mind, "God, if this is what you want, I will do this." And I walked away, and I'm blessed for doing so. So God will expect you to lay that thing down, even though it may not be consistent with our carnal thinking. He will still make a request, lay it down. So he tells Matthew, he gives him no explanation. He doesn't tell him anything more than he needs to tell him, other than, I require you, follow me. Will you walk away? Now, this is not just a one-off. If we look at the book of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning with verse 18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Meaning that this is their career, their profession is fishermen. They had been doing this any number of years. They were making a living for it. Peter had a family to feed. He had a wife. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway, which means immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. They left their profession and they followed him with no explanation of where we are going. Now, many times God doesn't want us he doesn't require from all of us to leave the same thing, but he does require all of us to leave something. And it'll occur over and over and over. When my wife and I got married, I was a computer programmer, programmer analyst. Made good money. This has been almost 40 years ago. Well, almost 30 years ago. And I was making back then about $60 an hour. And this is back when people weren't making $20 an hour like now. It was a lot of money. And my career was just going up. It was just skyrocketing. And God told me one day, you'll no longer work for man. You'll only work for me now. Are you willing to walk away? It may not be your job. It may be a habit. It may be an attitude. It may be any number of things. But are you willing to walk away? Because in both of those instances where it was with the first person that I was going to marry, it broke my heart. The second time when I had to give up my career, it scared me to death. I've worked all my life. And now I got to trust God. But my life is better having walked away and laying aside everything that God no longer wanted in my life. Let's read on. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. Now, I want you to see clearly the commitment that people make to Christ. They didn't just leave their career. They left their daddy struggling with the business. And they put Jesus Christ first. See, many times we don't advance to the place that God wants us to advance to simply because it's not the priority. He's got to be the priority. I was reading The Woman at the Well. It's an amazing thing. She comes, she wasn't expecting to meet Jesus. She didn't even know who this guy was. And he strikes up a conversation with her. And in the midst of it, he says, go get your husband. She said, well, I don't have one. He said, well, you've well said, because you done had five husbands, woman. Now, even in our environment now, which is sexually perverse and weird, if a woman had five ex-husbands, all of us would say, yeah, something's up. That's a red flag, a burning red flag. But in that culture, it was even worse. He said, you done had five husbands. But in the midst of all of that, she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. She said, when Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all things. And Jesus gave her a personal revelation. I that speak unto thee am he. He gave her a personal revelation. See, this is what we need more than anything else, is a personal revelation. When suddenly he said that, the Bible said she forgot her water pot and ran back into the city. Are you willing to leave some things behind? She forgot her water pot. She just left it there. She ran back into the city. All the men folks know her situation. She forgot all about that. And she began to preach to those very men, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. And the city came out to the feet of Jesus. Do you know why God could use her? She had not had that revelation 1 hour. How long you been saved? She had not had that revelation 1 hour before she was used to evangelize the city and to successfully bring people to Jesus Christ who ended up giving their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Are you willing to walk away? You know, many times we fall in love with our life and we say we love Jesus Christ, but we love our life more. For this woman, the water pot, it was reduced to insignificance. She didn't even think about it because Jesus filled her whole world. Everything she could see, everything she could think about, it was full of Jesus. And many times we don't walk away from the things that we should walk away because we have a small view of who Jesus is. And what we really want to do is we want to take Jesus and add him to our lives. And that is not the way it works. Amen. That's not the way it works. He calls each and every one of us to lay down our lives, to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and then follow after him. That's what he requires from every Christian. Now, he's a good God. He's a loving God. And when we fail to give it up, he doesn't throw us out. But we don't move forward either. Before I met Jesus Christ, I was a drug addict. I just started doing drugs. I suppose I was 12 or 13 years old. And it had been a constant lifestyle. I got saved when I was 28. And let me just say this. To all of our young people, don't do drugs. You will waste half your life. And let me say, in addition to that, the new drug is not necessarily a chemical. It's a musical sound that goes into your ear. Rap music is a drug that seduces you and intoxicates you, and you can't function normally. I'm going to preach that in another message, but I thought I would just drop that right there. But when the Lord called me, I gave up the woman. I do exactly what you say, and I walked away with him. And on that very day, all things passed away. All the drugs were just gone. I didn't quit them. They quit me. They were gone. All except one. And I really liked it. It was the worst one. Back then, we called it angel dust, but it's actually embalming fluid. And when you smoked it, it was like, you ever seen them drug people out in California that just stand like this all day long? It was almost like that. It was bad. But I wasn't too addicted. I just, you know, just a little bit every now and then. Just, my wife didn't even know. Nobody knew. The saints in church didn't know. It was all good. And God went over and again. He would convict me over and again, stop this. And I would go do it, and then I'd come back and repent. Oh, God, I'm so sorry, just before I go do it again. And over time, I just happened to be buying the drug, and the person I bought it with said, hey, I got some of this too. You want to check this out? Sure, why not? It was crack cocaine. And the first time I ever hit it, I was addicted. And I stayed addicted for 7 years. And the cycle of addiction kept getting worse and worse until I could no longer hold a job. I'd come home, my clothes would be out on the porch. Sister Lincoln would be so angry with me. My whole life was revolving. I couldn't capture myself. I couldn't stabilize my life. And it got so bad they had to put me into a home where crazy people are at. And when I got there, I realized I belong here. I'm hurting everyone that I love, and I can't control myself simply because I would not walk away. 7 years. After wasting from 12 to 28, then wasting 7 more years to learn the lesson that God is not to be played with. You can think you're getting away with it, but I'm telling you, God is looking and booking. Yeah, and he can change your mind. And after 7 years out there, and I'm in this crazy house, and I go back into the room they gave me, and I fall on the bed, and I just tell God, I can't go anymore. I can't go any further. I can't help myself. And I felt it in 1 second, just like that. I felt it on the inside. The addiction broke. He broke it. I felt it. He could have done it all the time. He could have done it year 6 or year 5 or the first year. But he'll do whatever he has to do to teach you that when it's time to walk away, walk away. Walk away. It was 7 years of horrible living, but I learned some good lessons. I learned some things about God. He's not to be played with. And many times, because he's so loving and so kind, we can play with him and we can hold these things and we can live this pseudo life where we claim Christianity, but at the same time, we're walking in things that he doesn't want for us anymore. He's wanting to mature us past that. Saints, please let it go. Let it go. Walk away from it. See, and it doesn't have to be drugs. It can be anything in your life. Once you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit begin to prick your heart to let that thing go, let that thing go. Sisters, you don't have to spend 8 years with this man and 3 babies later and you're not married. God told you on day one. You don't have to go through that. Today is the day. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't provoke him. See, we try to hold on to things thinking that somehow it's going to be okay. It's not. God is immutable. It will never be okay with him. Once he tells you that thing got to go, he will never change his mind. He told Jonah, go to Nineveh and cry out against that city. And Jonah took his own money, bought a ticket going the other direction. And if you read Jonah, you'll find out that he went down into the ship. He kept going down, down, down until he was asleep. And when he woke up, it was too late. He said, well, God's, I'm running from God. They said, well, we can fix that. Threw him off the boat. And read it carefully. The Bible said God had a fish prepared. It wasn't just any fish. God, when God created fish in Genesis, he knew this fish would have a baby that would have a baby that would have a baby that would grow up to be this fish prepared for Jonah. And Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale. It was a whale because Jesus said it was a whale. He spent 3 days in there, came out. You know what God said? Go to Nineveh and cry out against that city. God don't change. When he tells you the beginning, it is never going to change and you can't change it. And listen, you cannot ignore it. His voice is at the sound of many waters like Niagara Falls. You cannot stop from hearing him. We see in the book of John chapter 5, it was a man who had been sick for a long time. And in verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had now been there a long time in that case. And he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now, for you and I, you know, this is the question Jesus would always ask us. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be matured? Do you want to go on in your venture for Christ-likeness? And here God in the flesh is talking to this man, asking him a direct question, will thou be made whole? And here's the answer. The impotent man said unto him, sir, I have no man when I'm in the waters, when the waters trouble to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. In other words, he won't let go of his past. He won't let go. Well, here's what happened in the past. Every time I tried 35 times, I tried to step into the pool. Somebody else always beats me in there and I have nobody to help me and blah, 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 blah. The man asks you, do you want to be made whole? Yes or no? And Jesus is asking us, do you want to mature in Christ or not? If you do, you got to walk away from some things. You got to let some things go. You got to let them go. We look at Paul. And again, I want to emphasize, we're not just talking about sin here. We already know you got to let sin go. Some things we hold on to is not sinful. Socially acceptable. Normal in the course of carnal living. A lot of people are doing it. Sometimes it can be involvement in big business. But even if it's not sin, and God speaks to you to let it go, now it's sin to you. Let me say that again. It might not be sin to nobody else, but because God spoke to your heart, now it's sin to you. And the next person right here could be doing the same thing. Well, God didn't speak to their heart. He spoke to your heart, and now it's sin for you when you continue on in that path. We look at the Apostle Paul. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's saying, I don't care what you got going on, I had more going on. That's what he's saying. He was the Elon Musk of his day. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin. He's just talking about his pedigree in terms of the Jewish culture, that he was of the best pedigree. That's not sin. That was an advantage of that day. A Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, I was a Pharisee, meaning that he had attained the highest regiment of Jewish religion, a Pharisee. It wasn't easy. Everybody couldn't be a Pharisee. He goes on to say, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now that was sin. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was saying, I was walking this thing down. We know he was full of hate and he has sin in his life. But in terms of just the outward expression of the law, he's walking it down, blameless. But he said, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Notice these are not sin. These are things that he counted gain. These were things that he saw advantageous to himself. And many times we only focus on our sinful activity and we ignore what God is saying about the other aspects of our life. Drop down to verse 13. Paul goes on to say, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. He's saying there's things that I have that were good attributes, things that were not sin that I was involved in, but I'm forgetting all of those things that are behind me, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. Meaning I'm making Jesus the high priority, and everything else falls into the lowest priority. If you will do that, you'll see your salvation experience blossom. You'll see your usefulness for God begin to blossom. But it's hard to preach Jesus to somebody else when we're exactly like the person that we're preaching to. It makes it very difficult. We have to be a peculiar people, a different people, a people who are Christ-like and not culture-like. I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. Are you willing to walk away today? I'll close with this last thought. It's one of the shortest scriptures in the Bible. It just says, remember Lot's wife. Hand in hand with an angel being led out of Sodom before the destruction. And incidentally, our world is now marked for destruction. Our nation is marked for destruction. She's got a hand in the hand of an angel. And they're rapidly leading them out of Sodom. They said, don't look back. Don't look back. Let it go. But I imagine she had a beautiful house in Sodom. Her husband sat in the city, in the gate of the city. He was a ranking member. No doubt she had beautiful flowers in the front flower bed. And she looked back, and that's where God stopped her right there. She never went forward. She never went forward. Remember Lot's wife. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I've done my very best to pour out that you've given me. I ask you now for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to be upon every heart, including my heart, within the sound of my voice, here in the worship room, across the internet experience. God, I ask you that your Holy Spirit now would prick hearts, prick lives. That thing that concerns you in all of our lives, God, that you'd bring it to the top. Bring your conviction to bear. And God, strengthen us with might by your Holy Spirit that we might walk away. Come on, all over the room this morning. If you're able, would you stand to your feet all over the room? Now, you know whatever it is in your life that you're being challenged to walk away from. You know what it is. Nobody else needs to know that. But why don't you just, for a few minutes, just talk to God about that. Lord, continue to convict me. Bring Holy Ghost conviction upon my heart, Lord. Strengthen me that I might obey you, that I might walk, oh God, as this thing perhaps tries to cling to me and hold me back. God, give me Holy Ghost power that I might walk in the light as you are in the light. Father, I come to you this morning. I ask you in Jesus' name, come on, just reach out to the Lord, won't you? Just reach out.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lincoln, for that message. You know, Jesus said that if you want to follow him, you have to take up your cross daily to follow him. That means that we're going to have to give up some things, give up some friends. And that could be hard, to let go of something that we really want. But it's always best to be obedient when he asks us to do something. It's always best that we just listen to the Holy Spirit. It'll draw us so much closer to God, and we'll have so much better relationship with him. Thank all of you for coming this morning. All of the guests that we had, we thank you for coming to Christ Unveiled. Those of you who are online, we thank you for joining us this morning. And I had just a few announcements. If you haven't had a chance to give, we ask that you would help us. Also, if you want to give to the Screen Project, they are coming on Wednesday to repair the screens. That's this Wednesday the 6th, and we will not have Bible study because they will be here doing that. And also, if we need donations for the food pantry. And there's a list out there on the big kiosk thing. And if you need a list, you can also ask Sister Boyd what all we need for the food pantry. Now, if you would please bow your heads, and I'm going to say a small prayer. Get us out of here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. I pray, Father God, that we just listen to what you say, that we will give up the things that you are asking us to give up, whether they're big or whether they're small, God, that we just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and be obedient to your will. Father God, help us to get home safely. Let us drive courteous of those that are around us. And we thank you. And we praise your holy name. It is in Jesus Christ I pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.